Everyone's doing all right this morning, right? Did any moms get breakfast in bed this morning? Nobody? Okay. Well, just and Tam didn't either. I'm sorry. I did not do that either, so I am guilty as charged, right? Well, anybody have a rough week though this morning? Or I mean this week, a rough week? We had a few that I know did from what I've heard, but how many of you could just use a good laugh or two this morning? All right. Every once in a while, we need something like that, don't we? So here's a few things I found that that might help you, and all about moms, and it says, you know you're a mom when, all right? So you know you're a mom when your feet stick to the kitchen floor and you don't care. You know you're a mom when you spend an entire week wearing sweats. You know you're a mom when your idea of a good day is making it through without a child leaking bodily fluids on you. Some of you, you're at that level right now. You know you're a mom when you're willing to kiss your child's boo-boo, regardless of where it is. You know you're a mom when your baby's pacifier falls to the floor, you give it back to her after you suck the dirt off yourself because you were too busy to wash it off. That's never happened here, right? All right, you know you're a mom when you're so desperate for adult conversation that you spill your guts to the telemarketer that calls. And he hangs up on you. Try that someday. All right. You know your mom when? Spit is your number one cleaning agent. Oh, man. I can remember when I was growing up, my mom get out her hanky, spit on a little bit, and wipe my face off or whatever. So I guess it works, kind of. All right. You know you're a mom when you automatically double knot everything you tie. You know you're a mom when you actually start to like the smell of strained carrots mixed with applesauce. You know who groaned right then? All the dads. All right, you know you're a mom when you're out for a nice romantic meal with your husband, enjoying some real adult conversation, when you suddenly realize that you've reached over and started cutting up his steak for him. Well, here's another category, and this is all about how being a parent changes from kid to kid to kid, okay? And if you've only had one, then you didn't have this experience. But if you've had more than one, you've had some of this. If you had three or more, this is probably going to be very true for you. So here it is. So here's how parenthood changes things from baby to baby to baby. All right? So this first topic is your clothes. So with the first baby, you begin wearing maternity clothes as soon as your OBGYN confirms that you're pregnant. For the second baby, you wear your regular clothes as long as possible. For the third baby, your maternity clothes are your regular clothes. How about babies' names? With the first baby, you pore over baby name books and practice pronouncing and writing combinations of all your favorites. With the second baby, someone has to name his or her kid after great Aunt Mavis. It might as well be you. Third baby, you open a name book, close your eyes, and whatever name comes up, that's what they have, right? All right. How about preparing for the birth? With the first baby, you practice your breathing religiously. With the second baby, you don't bother practicing because you remember the last time breathing didn't do a thing. With the third baby, you ask for an epidural in your eighth month. Baby's clothes. First baby, you pre-wash your newborn's clothes, color coordinate them, and fold them neatly and put them in the baby's bureau. But the second baby, you check to make sure that the clothes are clean and discard only the ones with the darkest stains. With the third baby, you ask this question: boys can wear pink, can't they? And the things you worry about. With the first baby, at the first sign of distress, a whimper, a frown, you pick up the baby. With the second baby, you pick up the baby when her wails threaten to wake your firstborn. And with the third baby, you teach your three-year-old how to rewind the mechanical swing. And then going out. With the first baby, the first time you leave your baby with a sitter, you call home 5 times, at least. With the second baby, just before you walk out the door, you remember to leave a number where you can be reached. With the third baby, you leave instructions for the sitter to call only if she sees blood. And then the final one here, at home. With the first baby, you spend a good bit of every day just gazing at the baby. With the second baby, you spend a bit of every day watching to be sure your older child isn't squeezing, poking, or hitting the baby. And with the third baby, you spend a little bit of time every day hiding from your children. Well, there's some truth in all those, isn't there? I don't know what all the truth might be, but there's probably some. Well, this morning we probably should go to the scripture for a few moments at least. And we're going to be in Acts, and we're going to be in Acts chapter 9. And last week we were at the beginning of the chapter. This Sunday we're going to be toward the end of the chapter, and there's just an interesting story in there, beginning in the 36th verse. And so if you have your Bibles and want to follow along, Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 36, it says, "In Joppa..." And just know, Joppa is on the west, or on the shore of the Mediterranean, okay? Beautiful place, and it's right near Tel Aviv today, or would have been where Tel Aviv is there. And so in Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, but in Greek, her name is Dorcas. She was always doing good and helping the poor. About that time, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa. So when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent 2 men to him and urged him, "Please come at once." Peter went with them. And when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room. Then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning toward the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. And he took her by the hand and helped her to her feet. Then he called for the believers, and especially the widows, and presented her to them alive. This became known through all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord. And Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a tanner called Simon. I have a question for you, and especially you ladies maybe, but all of us could answer it. But have any of you ever thought that you'd like to change your first name? Oh, wow, several. All right, well, I got a suggestion for you, okay? If you ever want to change your first name, have you ever thought about Dorcas? That wasn't your choice? That might be the one that when you open up the baby book and you... Dorcas, well, this is the name of this lady, and her Aramaic name was Tabitha, so you might like that better. But anyway, this is a story that that Luke tells us here in the book of Acts. And I love how Luke, both in the gospel and in the book of Acts, just tells us about some wonderful women who made a difference and were part of the kingdom of God and the ministry both of Jesus and of the early church. Women played prominent roles. throughout the ministry of Jesus and in those early years of the church. And here we learn about a woman named Dorcas. And we're not told a lot about her. And what we are told about her may not be one of those things that just really inspires us necessarily. But I think there's some things about what we do learn that are very, very helpful and important for us. And I think one of those things is, first of all, Dorcas is one of those who did just ordinary, everyday things, and it mattered. And sometimes we just need to know that some of the ordinary, everyday stuff matters more than we sometimes think it does. Because sometimes, you know, most of our life, there's not much headlines kind of material. But you know, God sees things differently than the world does. And some just ordinary, everyday stuff matters. And so one of the things I want us to just notice here about Dorcas and her life, I hope will help all of us realize the place that God has in all of our lives and how just simple, ordinary stuff matters. I hope that that especially is one of those things we think about on a Mother's Day, because a lot of moms do stuff that is just work, and it might be routine, and it might be mundane, and it might not seem to matter to anybody, and sometimes moms don't get a lot of thanks for the stuff they do that no one notices. And maybe one of the reasons we have days like Mother's Day is to help us notice, help us pay attention to just some of those kinds of things. But I was thinking about Dorcas here. And just notice, the obituary for Dorcas would have been very, very short. It says she was a disciple who happened to live in Joppa. She did good things for others. She helped the poor. And she made robes and clothing. Not a long list. Not something that necessarily catches a bunch of attention. But isn't it interesting that we're told her story in the Bible? The story of someone just very ordinary, but yet very compassionate and loving. And that matters. It's interesting, Peter, we know him. He's one that's been with us through all the Gospels and now shows up also in the book of Acts as being a prominent leader. When Dorcas passes away, Peter's called. And in my mind, my thinking is that basically he was called not to raise her from the dead, but he was called maybe to do the funeral. He was nearby and he was a prominent Christian leader. And perhaps they just wanted to know if maybe he would be the one that would do the funeral for her. When he arrives, there are a bunch of widows. And so it appears that perhaps her ministry also included a ministry to widows, and she may have been one herself. We're not told that she has a husband or anything like that, and she may have been one of them. But we're told that there was a large group of widows in that room with her when Peter arrives. And Peter just asks for all to leave at that moment, and he just bows his head, kneels down, and prays. Isn't it interesting how sometimes just a simple description that the Bible gives us is able to help us realize that those simple things matter? He just kneels down and prays. And I don't know all that happened in that, but it seemed that he realized that God maybe wanted to do something special that day. Because out of prayer comes the words, "Get up, Tabitha." And she raises back up. Now, I don't know what to make of all that, and I wish that sometimes, maybe in some of our settings, that it could happen just like that. It doesn't, most times, right? I mean, I've been in some of those rooms where the person has passed or whatever, and there's not a sense that they're going to be raised that day. But I am glad as Christians we have the hope of a resurrection that's permanent, because we do recognize that Dorcas, or Tabitha here, is raised, but she dies later on again. But one of the things I just want us to note here is this. I have three main points for us, okay? Three easy to remember, but hopefully helpful to us. And there are these three points. In the kingdom of God, there are no insignificant people. Just think about that. In God's kingdom, no one is insignificant. Now, I know that as human beings and in our culture, we have a tendency to want to kind of raise some above others. But in the kingdom of God, everyone matters. Everyone is significant. And so here's a woman who helped others, a woman who made clothing, a woman who just did some ordinary, everyday, compassionate stuff. And in the kingdom of God, she was significant. I hope today that every one of you will know how significant you are to God. Everyone. There's not an exception anywhere here. Everyone matters to God. But my guess is there are also some of us who some days feel like, what's the use? No one cares. You know, I don't matter, perhaps, or feel like I matter to anyone. There could be some here who have had those days or have that day even today, feeling like no one cares. But in the kingdom of God, every single person is significant. Aren't you glad for that? The second main point I want to give is this, that seemingly little acts of kindness and love are huge to God and to those who are on the receiving end. Sometimes it's the little acts of kindness, those things that don't seem to be a big deal, that are a huge deal. Amen? Some of you moms, just think about some of the things that your kids have done that they were just seemingly a little thing and they didn't even know it made a big difference, but it touched your heart. You know? You probably have some of those kinds of things, some kind of memory of how something that wasn't big by human standards, but that was huge to you. Can I also suggest in the big picture for us that a lot of little things that you do, those small acts of kindness that seemingly no one notices, God notices. God sees them. They don't escape His attention. So some here today, you may think that some of those ways that you've tried to do something kind and good and helpful to someone else that maybe didn't get a thank you or maybe didn't seem to get noticed, they're huge to God. And they're more significant than you may realize to those that you've expressed it to. We don't always, as parents, get our thank yous right when it happens, do we? In fact, usually it's a lot later. Kind of when kids start to grow up and begin to realize, when they become parents, and they begin to realize, man, mom, dad, I didn't know all that you did. And then you might get a thank you or two. Well, the third and final point is simply this. Your character matters even more than what you do. Okay? Dorcas was known as a genuinely caring person. She really genuinely cared for people. And the clothing that she made, the things that she did, came out of who she was. And who she was mattered more than what she did. That's still true today. Who we are matters more than even what we do. God knows our heart. He knows the why of what we do, and the things that we do matter. But why we do what we do, the heart behind what we do, matters even more. Some of you are familiar with the very last chapter of the book of Proverbs. And it's kind of one of those proverbs that kind of highlights the value of moms and wives. And I'm not going to read that whole chapter, okay? But I do have a couple closing verses that I just want to read from Proverbs 31 that just, I think, says it well in terms of how character matters and how we as family members can better appreciate it. This is what it says. Her children respect and bless her. Her husband joins in with words of praise. Many women have done wonderful things, but you've outclassed them all. Charm can mislead and beauty soon fades. The woman to be admired and praised is the woman who lives in the fear of God. Give her everything she deserves. That's good, isn't it? And a good reminder for us here today. Can I just encourage us today that if you have opportunity, be sure to thank your mom today. Be sure to express gratitude. And perhaps your mom has passed, like mine has, many years ago now. You can still thank God for that life. You can still thank God for that influence. I am who I am because of what God has done, but also because of what my parents have done for me in helping me along the way, and especially towards a relationship with God. Nothing that they did for me mattered as much as who they were as Christians, having an influence on me to become one as well. That's still true. As we live, that influence makes a difference. Amen? All right, let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this special day. And Lord, we thank you for the privilege, opportunity we have to have been raised, in my case, by Christian parents. Not all here, that's the case. But Lord, we're glad that we're reminded today of how our character matters, and that who we are is even more important than some of the things we do. And so, Lord, help us to be the people you want us to be. Help us to become the kind of people who, Lord, are like a Dorcas, who just does ordinary, everyday stuff that matters, even for the kingdom and to the people around. So, Lord, we just pray that you would bless us. We celebrate you and celebrate our moms on this day. And, Lord, we'll give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.